Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome to Experience Grind Podcast, the podcast about getting older and the experiences we gain from movies, games, and pop culture. I'm Ryan, your host for this episode, and this week we're talking about a straight-to-Hulu horror flick, No One Will Save You, because it's Brookstober. And I think I understood the assignment right. Brookstober is the time of year where we all gather around and we celebrate Brooks, right? So with that, Kyle, how are you doing? And how do you celebrate Brooks?
I celebrate Brooks by once a year putting on a bald cap and then, like, just going up to my neighbor and, like, doing a drop kick to his chest and then pinning him. And a celebratory, like, it's a different neighbor every year. They never know which day it's coming either, but it comes and they know it's here. That's how I celebrate Brooks.
I like it. Fitting. With that, I'd like to introduce our other host for the night. Brian, how are you doing? And how do you celebrate Brooks?
I'm doing great. And, I don't think I understood the assignment because all this time I've just been listening to Garth on repeat all October long. And I think I might have been celebrating the wrong Brooks here.
Ah, I see. Oh man. I can't wait for Chris Gaines February.
Chris Gaines February. Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
He's Brooks well, and done with it.
Brookstober can't be Brookstober without Brooks. So, Brooks, how are you doing? And then, more importantly, how do you accept these offerings of celebration? And well, if you have to sacrifice one, who do you sacrifice?
Well, first of all, I don't think I heard how you celebrated Brookstober.
Ooh.
I'm touche. Hosting this whole event. I'm the host. All of this is my celebration for you, sir.
Ah, well, then I'd have to accept both sacrifices anyway, because you're the one hosting it, therefore it's, yeah. First of all, I accept Kyle's because he correctly assumes that I can hit a dropkick.
There you go.
Probably not currently without hurting myself, but back in my heyday, definitely a dropkick could have happened. I never did one in a actual match, but I can hit one. Bald is also an appropriate choice.
Don't you think a bit on the nose, maybe?
Nah, never.
A bit obvious.
Nah. I think given Kyle's head shape, he could possibly pull off being bald. So
possibly.
It's all the swastika tattoos underneath there though. That's what
complicates things for sure.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went through a phase. You know we all did. Come on.
Kyle History X.
And then, of course, Garth Brooks being quite possibly about the only tolerable country music singer that I've ever really listened to.
That's so fair.
I'll allow it.
No, I'll allow it.
That's fair. It is your month, so that's my bad.
I'll be standing outside the fire.
I see what you did there.
Don't forget, I got friends in low places.
I'll be standing outside the fire in the sky.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's a double segue there. We like that
boom,
one.
Boom, bada bing.
Speaking
that's, yeah.
Well, speaking of fire
stop,
in the
stop
sky.
Stop, give Kyle a minute. That was a good one.
That is. And speaking of fire in the sky, what is the movie this week, Ryan?
So this is No One Will Save You. It's an alien flick because I loves me some aliens. I really do. I don't know what it is. Especially you can get like those kind of monster beasties the fuck out of there. Give me something very gray-like. the kind of humanoid ones, and I'm freaked the fuck out. So I saw a trailer for this when it was being dumped onto Hulu way back when, I think sometime right after the pandemic, because this definitely has some pandemic vibes. And I was like, yep, I've got to see this. And it stuck with me. It's one that I really enjoyed and wanted to share with people as soon as I got the chance. And Brookstober is the perfect place for that. So with that, I want to ask you guys real quick before we start the ranking process here. Have you heard of this movie before? Have you seen of it? Have you seen it first? Then if not, have you even heard of it? To which I guess I will lead Brooks, the headmaster of Brookstober. I forget, being the leader sucks, dude. You gotta call on people.
Anyway, yes, I had heard of this movie after I had seen what the actual movie was. I was like, oh, I've seen a trailer for this. And I thought it was an interesting concept. Just the trailer. It gave me the, what was the M. Night Shyamalan one?
Signs.
Signs. It gave me Signs vibes.
It did have Signs vibes.
So I was like, okay. I liked Signs for what it was. I was like, okay. You know, some parts of it were great. Some parts of it were not so. I mean, you kind of get what you get with an M. Night Shyamalan movie. But true. I was like, okay, I would love to see someone take a different stab at this. So, but I hadn't seen it until earlier today.
Nice. Okay.
So, we'll go over to Brian.
I had not seen this movie until last night, and I had not heard of this movie until Ryan said that's what we're talking about. I had no clue this existed, but I'm a sucker for some aliens, especially of the gray variety. I love those humanoid, big-eyed, creepy-looking, if I'm going to be watching a horror movie on my own, like as of my own choice, it's probably going to be an alien movie. Mm. And this did not disappoint.
Nice. I am glad to learn there's a fellow alien fan, especially like the proper alien. Come on. Because I don't know. And you brought up Signs, Brooks. Like, that's one that's like that scene of the little birthday party.
Birthday party.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like that's going to be
a perfect jump scare.
Yeah. I'll be a fucking Alzheimer's riddled old man and have no thoughts left in my brain. But that alien walking across slowly and looking at the camera, that's going to be the last thing I see in my deathbed. Do for sure, I know walk. It. Yep, I know it. I know it. Maybe Joaquin's face, like, afterwards, too, but it's that combination. One of those two. Kyle, what about you, sir?
What was it? I was going to respond to somebody in some way. Grays are cool. I think it's the Uncanny Valley with them. That said, I think it's very well known. I'm a Xenomorph fanboy all the way. That's my alien. I did know of this movie. I have not seen it. That said, I have seen the Found Flicks complete breakdown of this movie. If you guys are familiar with Found Flicks at all, I do that a lot. Aware of the movie.
I was going to say, real quick, what is Found Flicks?
Found Flicks is a dude, I believe he's maybe Canadian, but he just breaks down like a lot of like lower tier horror movie shit when it comes out, and his shit's usually pretty long, and I use it a lot to check out like a monster movie before I watch it if I'm interested. Like, number one, is it convincing enough to look cool, and is it cool enough to want to see it? So, I watch a lot of his shit, though. It's good stuff.
Man, that is like, put a pin in this for a future conversation, because I think there's a lot to talk about there.
Sure. Yeah.
With horror and like how you kind of have to suspend seeing the stuff for it to work. And then you're just like seeing everything immediately all at once. Mm-hmm.
There are definitely different ways about it and different feelings on it.
You're right. Like, it can weed out some of those bullshit horror movies that waste your time and intentionally do so. So that's interesting. Sorry, continue on. Thank you for educating.
No, that was it. It did warrant, I remember thinking that it looked cool, and I was like, oh, I would watch this one. I need to come back to it. And then I never did, but it was only 2 years ago too. This came out in 2023. So, I definitely would have gotten around to it. I did remember it, and I'm interested to talk about it. So
very nice. Well, talk about it. We shall do. We're going to just jump right into our ranking system. I think this week we're going to go back to 5 points since there are four of us. Is that right?
Oh, well, yeah. We do have all of Sean's scores.
Oh, yeah. We are sticking at 4 points then. That's right. Thank you. Keeping me on track. All right. We're going to start off with the story, which will encompass the narrative, the dialogue, and the writing. I'm going to go very quick with the summary here. So hang on and bear with me for this one. No One Will Save You is a sci-fi thriller centered around a young woman named Brynn, who, due to a specific traumatic event, lives a solitary life until one night she is forced to confront an alien invasion head on. Boom. Done. Let's go. Let's talk about this shit.
That's real quick.
Yeah, that's it. All right. I am very interested to get to Brooks because I feel like Brooks might have the most negative to say about this movie, judging from our pre-talk comments. And I am curious to hear his thoughts.
So, all right. What was this category again? The
story, narrative, story, dialogue, and writing are all encompassed.
Well, the dialogue was basically non-existent. A few mumbled things here and there, a couple full sentences, but not much really to talk about, not much really to say. It's kind of a silent film feeling. So, but that said, I did enjoy almost all of the movie, with the exception of the very end. Kind of gave me a little bit of a... I mean, it was a swerve, but it didn't quite do it for me, so I'm giving this movie, still good, a 3.
Very nice. Okay. I thoughtfully put, let's hear, who do you want to hear from next?
Let me hear from Mr. Kyle.
I'm trying to do an alien noise. I'm not as high on Brooks, but I'm not hating on it. Story-wise, I think overall it's very basic. There is not a lot to it. I like the way that a lot of things are presented, which I think will come up later. But overall, I think story-wise, it's still more about her trauma of like killing this girl when she was like 12, I feel, rather than the alien invasion, which is sort of her taking place around her dealing with this trauma, and they use the trauma against her, kind of, or to understand its things. But overall, I give it a 2 in story, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm kicking it to Bry Guy.
All right. I think it's interesting that we compared it to one M. Night Shyamalan movie already, because I think the ending very much had the vibes of Split, where they're like, you've suffered enough. I'm not gonna do nothing to you. You're good. We're fascinated in what's going on here, and we're gonna watch you, and we're gonna let you live out your days with your already existing trauma. As far as the dialogue goes, I think for not having any, they did an amazing job of actually carrying this narrative through. I'm very impressed with the writing on this movie, considering the lack of dialogue. I'm going to go with a 3. All right. And yeah, we can just throw it to Ryan, I guess.
Sounds good. Well, I think I'm going to be the highest on this one. I will say I think the lack of dialogue is the talking point. Mm-hmm. As Brian said, like, that a narrative is able to work pretty much all through visual storytelling, and Caitlin Dever's acting is pretty phenomenal. I think that is what's remarkable about the story. I guess this is also where I guess I have to get into the ending, because I'm with Brian. I think I'm with it. The split ending works. That's absolutely a read. I'm also of the mindset, like, this is monsters trauma. This is the Mike Flanagan, like, the ghosts are trauma. So aliens in this movie are the trauma. And, like, the ending is her realizing she's never going to be able to fucking beat these aliens or get rid of them, get rid of the trauma, because you don't. You can never get rid of it. Instead, you have to find a way to live with it. And that's the final shot, is her dancing happily with all of this trauma around her. The aliens have won. She's still free, but, like, whatever. It's about the trauma and her finally coming to the realization and, like, being happy with herself, being able to live with what she's done. And, like, for that, like, I'm at a 4. I do also kind of, like, maybe hold back a little bit, because it is a little bit simplistic and straightforward through a lot of it. But I do think they do a very smart job here of weaving something very deep and emotional with, like, this sense of trauma. And I think the aliens are a representation of that through and through. That's why they start using the trauma against her and they start digging into it, almost like it's blurring the lines between the two. So 4, and I will say an enthusiastic 4 at that too. Yeah. Very close to a 5.
It was a very high 3 for me, so I get it.
With that, I like that it's all over the board. I will say that too before we move on. With that, I can't.
We also have
wait
Sean's score.
Should I guess we do that now then, right?
Might as well.
You gave it for each category, yeah.
Who's gonna read it?
I'll read off
everybody
the first
does
one.
One.
I don't mind.
Yeah, everybody does all one.
Right. Oh, there we go.
Man, it's interesting to talk about this aspect and really only be able to touch upon the story and have to forego the dialogue and writing. Sure, Sorry Mud saves her and puts her back onto Earth to live happily amongst the alien-controlled humans, but the movie tells so much more with no talking. It's really incredible how Brian did it, the director, Brian Duffield. I really enjoyed the story that was told here in Bryn struggling as someone outcast from town and driven into reclusiveness slash alien status, being the one to really fight back against the aliens that invade her seclusion. There are a few little quibbles that I had in wishing that the other characters were a bit more fleshed out, but I get it. 3 out of 4.
Perfect.
I have one comment, and I guess it would go here in the story, but, like, you killed somebody and you're ostracized by your entire community. Bitch, move!
Move!
Dude.
Bitch, move!
Housing ain't cheap,
like,
man.
Like, they kind of hinted that her mother being dead was connected somehow, and then they never touched on it. Yeah. They were just like, nope, different incident. Don't even worry about it.
I would also like to clarify that this should be a 3 on my end, because it was supposed to be the second from the top, but I forget, because I'm a dum-dum, that we're out of 4. It took seeing Sean's story, the 3 out of 4, to be like, oh, that's what I meant.
Oh, so you're a 3. You're not a perfect. 3.
No, so I'm a really very high 3. I'm very
close. That's why I'm a 2. Like, a 2 is still pretty good. It's like middle of the road, though, is what I
would. That's when Brooks was like a good 3. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good, but I'm way higher than that. Oh, no, I guess
I was a high 3, and I was like, wow, he's going full marks for this. Okay.
But no, not yet.
It all makes sense now.
Twist! That's the first M. Night Shyamalan
twist. What a twist!
That's not the real ending.
So we're actually a lot closer than I thought. Never mind then. All right, we're all kind of there. Characters then. This will encompass antagonists, protagonists, supporting characters, and the casting. Let's hear from Kyle. What are your thoughts?
So the movie is one of those that is... It's one person, essentially. I mean, you do have Mailman, you do have Cock, and you do have Spit Lady.
Spit Lady.
But essentially, it's like the one person. So when you have one person essentially carrying your movie, they better be pretty good. And luckily, this chick's pretty good. I give it a 4 because I'm also including the 3 variants of the alien dudes, and I also liked those guys a lot. Although the small little monkey guy was my least favorite and the most basic, I felt. He was just a creepy little doll thing that was generic overall. But I did like cool big floppy arm man that did the traffic signals, like Rick said. That guy was pretty sweet. And I did like the communications, but that's something that we'll get into later. But characters, I'm being generous, but I'm giving it a 4. I'm giving it the highest mark. I really enjoyed it. She carried the movie well, so. And let me kick it to Ryan. Let's get your praise out of the way.
Who says it's going to be praise? It might not be praise. I am curious where, maybe this is more style, talking about the creature designs, because I could really wax poetic about the creature designs. I think that's more maybe style. So I will stick to just, all right, I see. All right, Caitlin Dever is fantastic. I already hinted at this in the top. I think she's a great actress, phenomenal to carry to carry a movie like this at such a young or early part of her career, and to do it so well. It's kind of mind blowing. It's like for me when you see Daisy Ridley in The Force Awakens, and then sadly that talent just did not get used correctly after that. But like the way. Just her face can act like it's that good face acting. They don't have to say anything. You can just see exactly what the character's thinking, their motivations, like every gear turning in their head is in their acting, in their performance. It's not vocal. It's not just like somebody shouting or whatever. It's all through facial acting, and she's great at this. For that alone, I want to give this high marks. But then, as Kyle said, I think the protagonists are good. I think the way they write the aliens are kind of smart and clever. I've seen these movies done badly. There was the one with Carrie Russell that I can't think of. Dark Skies had Grays. Done poorly. Done real shit. It happens. And like that is a super bummer. So I'm really pleased with the aliens here too. Like their tactics, what they're doing, kind of the... Not necessarily world building, but there's like enough there. Like it's like the things they do, you can see like a process to it, and it makes sense. Like there's a lot of thought to like the characters and like a lot of this. So I don't know that I can. I don't know that I can go full though, because it is such a very minimal cast.
It's weird, so, yeah. But I get it based on her ability to carry.
I'm with you. I just don't know if I can do it. And so I think I have to give another high 3. But I don't know that I disagree with you, Kyle. I think you're right to give it a 4. So with that, let's see how Brooks feels about the characters.
So 100% going off of what you said about Caitlin Dever. Her facial expressions sold everything she was doing. Like, she didn't need dialogue at all in this movie. It felt like she carried everything. The several other minor characters that you see throughout also able to carry the movie without any dialogue. Even the mailman, who had like a little bit of dialogue in the beginning whenever he's delivering the package and just shooting the mailbox and whatnot, even that was like, okay, yeah, he's just kind of a goofy mailman, and then later becomes possessed alien. Touching on the alien characters, I liked how there were differences in what they were trying to do. I'm not going to touch on how they looked or anything here, but I'm talking about the way that they were portrayed. Each one had its own little specialty. You could even go as far as the doppelganger made from the seed in from her throat. That was portrayed a little bit differently as well. And by the same actress. So that was also well done, because she technically played two different characters in this movie as well. So, I mean, from a... It's kind of a cheat, but it's still a fair point. You know, she was two different things. I kind of want to give this one a 4. Just because of the... even though it was like a very small cast, the cast that they had kept the movie interesting. I mean, the story for the most part helped, but they didn't. I didn't lose anything because of the cast at all. So, let's go with the Brian.
Yeah, I have to agree with everybody so far. I mean, this is an excellent performance from our lead. Caitlin Dever as Bryn is phenomenal in this movie. And it's a good thing, because there's a lot resting on her in this movie. I like the stark contrast from last week, where we have a clear protagonist and clear antagonists. it's very easy to know who's the good guy here, who's the bad guy, even though you find out that your good guy has killed before.
Mm-hmm. She's got a taste for it. She's good at it.
She's good. She used the lessons she learned as a wee lass to take out that first alien.
Technically, she did have the biggest body count in this movie.
She killed 7 people in this movie. Maud, 4 aliens, and 2 slime creatures. So,
yep. Hell yeah. So. Badass.
Badass. Also, child murderer. But, you know, accidentally.
It turned her into the badass. It was formative.
Trauma is the character, actually.
I have a question, Brian. Does it make her a child murderer because she killed a child, or because she was a child that murdered?
Well, luckily, she satisfies both definitions, so we don't actually have to specify which one I meant.
There we go.
I think the two childs null each other out, like, negative.
So now she's just a murderer.
So it's just a murderer.
She's just a straight-up murderer.
Just murder.
Yeah. It's not child murder if you're also a child.
Yeah, it's like, all right, no, dude. I hate to say it. I'm going to do it. It's like a crime. Crimes are crimes unless it's, like, against a different kind of thing. Then it's a hate crime. But if it's on the same... Yeah.
Right.
So
child murder isn't child murder. It would actually be more impressive if she killed an adult.
That's cool.
And then she'd still be a child murderer.
And then exactly, because they wouldn't nullify. All that to say, I agree with Ryan. I can't give it full marks as much as I want to. It's a very, very enthusiastic 3, though.
I like it. Pretty even spread. Okay. All right.
So what is Sean's score on this?
Yeah. Who's going to read Sean? Who would like to read this time? That's not Brian.
I can.
I will fall on this dagger, then somebody gets it next time. I'm not going to do an impression.
Come on, do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
I can't even do somebody who's like known for a voice, let alone Sean, who's just like
you hear a guy Sean's voice more often than others.
This is a tough one.
To you, Brooks.
This is a tough one for me.
Sean.
I can't do Sean. I don't know, dude. I can't. What is that? Face blindness? I have voice blindness. As soon as I have to do an accent, like, it's gone. This is a tough one for me. Initially, I thought, what is that? Like, that's not...
Keep going.
Commit to the bit. I love it.
This is a tough one for me. Initially, I thought Bryn was a touch miscast, but that quickly wore off, and I think I just found myself not being particularly fond of the ancillary characters. Maud's mother spitting at her face 10 plus years later as Bryn is going into police department clearly for help. And she never goes anywhere when she doesn't have to. That was ridiculous and a bit much. I enjoyed Bryn's arc and resilience. And the uninspired aliens rather held their own as well.
I'm going to have to fight Sean on that one.
Out of four.
Jesus. Uninspired.
I'm so sorry, Sean. If it makes you feel better, I don't think that was consistent at all any of the way through. All right. With that, oh man, I would love to just call out somebody to be Sean right up at the top of style. But I'm not going to do it. I'll save that for direction. Oh shit. All right. Brooks has volunteered. Brooks as Sean. So this is Sean covering style, which encompasses tone, visuals, sound, and music.
Okay. This movie screams style, and definitely not at the expense of substance. A movie with very few spoken words, and the sound and music drive this along and ramp up the thrills. For a movie that does nothing special at all for the aliens, save for that long-limbed one that just looks like he's trying to do the Thriller dance, the meat of the alien story is enough to overlook the generic gray men. This is easily a 4 out of 4 for me.
So he's ripping on the aliens, but giving it a perfect score.
Yeah.
I have words for him, but I'll save him.
How dare you, sir?
Okay. Well, since it's already on me anyway, and I just did that, I'll go ahead and continue with style. For me personally, the style of the aliens, Even as Greys, each one had its own speciality, it felt like. The tiny alien was kind of like the little... he was the little muscle. You know, he was like sent to go clean up, it felt like. Like, because you immediately see him after they telekinetically drag out the body of the other one that she killed. The other ones are kind of scientists, but they look like your standard Greys, but they also have the telekinesis.
Mind bullets. They're
killing yaks from 200 yards away.
Yeah. The mind bullets! That's telekinesis, Kyle.
The first time they did it, I literally said that at the screen. I was like, that's telekinesis, Kyle!
Exactly. And then, of course, you got the... elongated aliens that are basically air traffic controllers.
Yeah.
They are summoning the flying saucers to pick up the people or drop off more aliens. And every one of them moves around a little creepily. I love the movements of these aliens. I love the sound effect choices. It was good. I liked the shots of the movie. The music was really good. It was a solid 4 for me. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and kick it back to Ryan.
All right. I think everything about the style here works pretty much perfectly. I have some minor complaints with the CG, but with the low budget, like, I get it for certain things, so you just have to go with it. But I do think this movie does a really good job of really doing a lot with the small budget, from, like, including, like, the miniature village that she's been working on, which is, like, it's not a big effect or anything, but, like, it's this little practical crafty touch that just, like, adds so much. And just, like, the shots with that included just mean a lot. And, like, when that thing gets thrown against the wall, I felt as bad for that as I did for John Wick's dog, because I know how much work had to have gone in that. Like, that's heart crushing. But I think also just like camera wise, all this stuff, I think it's pretty solid throughout. It's really restrained, which I like. It's not overly flashy. Instead, they do like a lot of long held cuts. They really let shots linger, so you kind of wait to see if something pops up or do something. Again, I said Mike Flanagan earlier. I think that's like a really good parallel for like the feels of this. So like if you like the House of Haunted Hill stuff on Netflix and like, again, the Mike Flanagan shit, I think this is very similar in feel. It feels very kind of adult, feels very mature. I think it's tying in a lot of like grief and like these trauma aspects into the horror. And then, like, it's really kind of, like, paced intentionally a little bit slower. And I like that. And that's not to say, like, everything is bland. Like, there are some good flourishes. I love, like, the shots that are drenched in all red when that red light comes in. And, like, the camera does, like, the swoops around her. That's really cool. When she attacks the alien and there's, like, that really quick camera jar cut. Like, that's... There's some good shots. And I think the way they film a lot of this, it's, again, it's really effective. It's scary and like kind of puts you on edge and creates tension without stupid jump scares. There might be one of them that I might be overlooking, but like really, like it's about like the little things that slowly build up. That's like the creepy thing. It's just this slow progression of things getting increasingly worse. And like, that's the tension of the movie, not just like quiet boom, quiet bang, quiet scary. It's smart. And I think that is easily conveyed in the style. I love the color palette of this movie. I love so much about it. I probably haven't talked about the sound, but I feel like somebody else can do that because I've already babbled quite a bit. So with that, I'm going to kick it to Kyle. Oh, I didn't give a rating. I'm so sorry. It's a 4. I think this movie is stylistically great.
I will talk about the sound because I think above everything else, the sound design is what sets this movie apart. What these aliens kept reminding me of in the best way possible was the scariest alien sound I've ever heard in my life, which is the tripods from Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds. So many of the things in this just really hit that deep lizard brain fear when they would do that deep bass warble. I really liked when, at the end, when she's like stuck in between the two that are communicating and they like have the frog like ripples up and down their body. Everything about this, like everybody says, just bleeds cool. I really like that the UFOs stack on top of each other and then also split apart. All kinds of just really awesome stylistic choice stuff that works so well. I love when the mailman is part of the way in the thing and his like back breaks all fucking jacked up. Cool shit like that. Also stylistically, there's some really nice shots. Like Ryan said, there is a really creepy shot when she gets on the bus the first time. I pegged the dude in the back staring at her and I was like, that dude is staring at her. And then it turned out to be the mailman, and I was like, oh, he was staring at her. That was really cool that they put that there for me to pick up on. Really nice stuff. Overall, I'm also a 4 on this. Hit it out of the park. Who is left? Is it Brian? Yeah.
Yep.
Take it, buddy.
I agree with the bus scene. Like, they were already raising the tension there, and you're like, is he looking at her because of the murder thing, or is this because he's an alien? And it's like, oh, man, when she goes into town that second time, you can't read anybody, and it's awesome. I 100% agree with what everybody said, especially Ryan, when you talked about the lack of jump scares and building the tension in a smart way. I couldn't have put it better, and I was planning on saying it, so thank you for covering that. What I love most, though, I think, is the way they took these classic 50s-style gray aliens and modernized them and took all of this lore that's built around these gray aliens over the last 70 years and put it in here. I mean, you have your tractor beams, you have your scientist aliens looking at when she's in the ship and like quote unquote probing her. They're not, they're, you know, they're just looking at her. They're probing her mind, looking at her trauma. It's just, it's really cool. And the way they had these different races that they introduced, but it's still the classic gray alien. It's just really cool. It's a 4 for me too.
Wow. I think with Sean's negative comments, that was a perfect sweep.
That was a perfect sweep on style.
Hey, look at that. Brian Duffield.
Definitely deserve it.
He did okay. All right. With that, we're going to hop into entertainment value, which will encompass the enjoyability, success, and the reception of the movie. And for this, I usually kick this to Brian. I don't know why, because he sets up the stats, and maybe I now see him as a stat man. So, stat man Crothers.
I'm a stat man!
I'm so glad it went there. I was hoping.
Yeah, I can kick it off. That's,
please. Yeah, I would love it.
And I'll start off with just telling you right away, the Rotten Tomatoes on this is pretty split. It's got a high critical score with 83 and a low audience score of 56. Lowish. I mean, it's 56.
I think that's rotten
it's
at
right
that
there
point.
In the middle. I think it is.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a split on this one, which I found interesting. And then when you look at the IMDb, it's a 6.2. Metacritic is a 60. Letterboxd is a 3. So again, it's a 60. So it's right there in the middle. And its reception seems to have been kind of middling, which is surprising because I had a hell of a good time watching this movie. I was on the edge of my seat for a lot of it, just waiting to see what happened next. And as somebody who doesn't love the genre, I was so sucked in and just like, let's go. I need more. Give me more. For me, I was way more entertained than I expected to be. And for that, for my personal experience, that is a 4.
Very nice.
And I would love to hear from Sean. Kyle's Sean.
I was thoroughly hooked in riding this roller coaster to the end. Initially, I was unsure what to make of that ending, but in thinking about it, well, LOL, I'm still mixed. I didn't expect the thought to change mid-sentence. I like the idea of it, but I think it just maybe creeps me out. I can't speak for the success of this movie, but for me, it was a success. Also, scared the shit out of my dog, and he couldn't stop watching. 4 out of 4, and a dog paw.
Do we think that dog paw counts as a bonus point? Or is that just a little fun thing that's now the only review
poor Rupert
that has a
Rupert's
dog paw attached to it.
Just yeah the number plus paw.
Yeah, that's it.
There we go.
Okay, huh,
I'll also take it from Sean. But yeah, he gave it a 4 out of 4. Entertainment value, this is where I will come in with my complaint of the movie. What, he's got one? No. So if I do have one complaint about this movie, it is by about the third act when she wakes up covered in like the mud and the muck. I don't know. It got a little long in the tooth for me. I kind of feel like this would have worked a little bit better overall as maybe a short. I think dragging it out to a full length feature just kind of dimmed it a little bit. That said, not a whole lot. I did overall really still enjoy this movie. And, you know, I typically think most things are too long anyway, so that's a common complaint from me. That said, I still gave this an entertainment value 3 out of 4. I had a hell of a time watching it. Like you guys said, that first scene when the alien is in her house and she realizes it is at the top of the stairs, that's Signs level tension. That's War of the Worlds level tension. Like, that's good shit. And then they repeat it. I was also creeped out in the basement when she's like trying to slide around the pillars of the one that comes downstairs. And then when it's just looking at her, I really like that. Maybe I should have brought that up in style. But the way that the aliens acted sometimes, like that one too, the little one that just stops and stares at her until she's shutting the door, and then it monkey climbs immediately to her. And just again, really nice touches. It was overall very entertaining. Like I said, just got a little long for me at the end. Could have. What are you gonna do though? But yeah, 3 out of 4. And Brooksy, take it, buddy.
So, I will also nitpick on one on a thing here too. Like throughout the entire movie, I was pretty well entertained. I have to touch what I determined for myself to be the weakest part of the movie, which is the very end, where the aliens drop her out of the flying saucer, and she goes home and basically improves her life, but then I don't know if everyone around her are now alien hosts or what, but you know that the aliens are there, and it's like, and they are all living together happily. For me, this ending felt like it had no balls. Because they went with a happy ending instead of her just like getting zoomed off into space to be studied, which is what I think would really happen in this situation.
I wouldn't call it a happy ending, but
well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a happy ending for her in this movie. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, yeah, there's still the aliens
in the way taken she learns to world. Live with her trauma and now interacts with quote unquote people.
Yeah. Who may or may not be people at this point.
Well, you can see the little guys in their throats.
Right. Yeah.
They were definitely donezo.
So, I mean, and then of course, you know, all the flying saucers in the skies. So yeah. To me, that feels like it was the safer option of endings, but maybe skewed just a little bit because, you know, there was no way that this movie could have ended with her just escaping. And there is no way that this movie should have ended with her escaping.
Agreed.
So, I mean, she's still kind of...
Arguably, she didn't.
Well, I mean, that is also...
She has free will, but she's not going to be a problem.
Exactly. I mean, or but she didn't problem escape. If you're the only one left. But I felt like...
That's like its own Twilight Zone type of ending in and of itself.
And that kind of is.
There was time.
So yeah, I'm going to give this one a three out of four. And Kyle, did you have something you wanted to say here?
Yeah, I just realized this girl is like Joe Dirt. Towns place people hate you. They're mean to you.
But yeah, this is a 3 out of 4 for me.
She has the Joe Dirt arc, so yeah, 3 out of 4. Sorry.
Let's see. Brian, I believe? Or Ryan?
I started off.
Yeah. You start off? I think so it might just... be me left. Yes. Possibly. Mm-hmm. So I was gonna be very high in this, but now I'm just thinking about a Joe Dirt alien invasion movie, and now I think that's like the most entertaining. I'm very thing.
Into that idea.
Why didn't that they do that for a sequel?
I know.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, they should have. Yeah, American got, get out of here.
They could have given him space alien. Peanuts.
Fuck you, yeah, that joke right fuck, itself. That title?
American Alien. Joe Dirt, American Alien.
The connotations. Dude, there's so much you could do with that. I don't have to write it. ChatGPT can do it. Fucking boom, I got a WB movie. All right. entertainment. Nope. Yes, entertainment value. I think we all know I disagree with Brooks about the ending. I think the ending is incredibly deserved. But also I disagree with Kyle because it is kind of a happy ending. Arguably, she is trapped, but she learns peace to make peace with it, at least. So there's that. So it's like a kind of happy ending.
She's weirdly better off than she was at the beginning of the movie.
She is. So it is kind of a happy ending. So I do agree a little bit with Brooks in that sense. But I think that's fine for me. I think I do think it's also a ballsy ending. I think this is why it's getting in the middle reviews, because I think it is an alienating ending, not to fucking pun it up. But like, I do think like the easier thing would be I have like a big climactic thing where you like either have a clear ending or a clear win or a clear loss. And this movie doesn't do that. And I do think that's always the ballsy way to go. But I do see why this movie is getting the middling reviews, because this is a lot like, for me, I saw the TV glow, where at a certain point, it does not care as much about like the verbatim, this is actually what is happening in front of you logic. And then it starts to dive heavily into the thematic logic.
Yeah.
And the symbolic logic
becomes the text.
And that's it. It's the same way, whereas like if you are not going to be satisfied with the subtextually satisfying ending, this might not be your movie. In the same way I saw the TV glow is not going to be, because at a certain point it kind of leaves you behind then. For me, it works. For me, the way it ramped up every kind of alien encounter and different thing and kept bringing new ways into it, every 15, 10 minutes, like, I thought it was incredibly refreshing. Made the 90 minutes go by quickly both times I've seen it now. I'd be happy to watch it again. I don't think there's any slowdown in it. I think this movie fucking clicked. It does have
nice pacing.
Yeah, the only issue I'd have would be, as always, with the entertainment value, which is like the reception, which I don't think it was received. I think maybe at a certain point down the line, it might get some cult status, but right now is not that time, and I don't think
it's we're too close fresh to that. For that. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see where this movie is in terms of cultural speaking in 10 years. It might not be anywhere. It might not even be thought of. But I don't know.
It might not even exist because digital platforms are the worst.
Yeah, they're going to just be, yeah. Yeah, like those HBO movies. It could just disappear. They're just gone. Mm-hmm. That's a fucking bummer. I'm very high on it. And I don't want to concede to the others, so I'm going to give it a 4. I still think it fucking works. Just know, like, if you go into it, it might not satisfy you. You might be like Brooks, and you might be like Cocktease, and then nothing happens. Like
I literally laughed and said, what the fuck? At the end of this movie.
Personally, even if I don't understand why, if a movie does that to me, I immediately like it a little bit more because it left me feeling confused. And I would rather be confused and have to think on it than be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Yeah. I called this in Act One when Denzel said he was going to do this. And he did it. Congratulations, Fences.
By golly, he did it.
All right. So I think that covers entertainment value. With that, sure we will does. Jump into our final category here, direction. And this is from Brian Duffield. This is going to be the vision and execution of him. So also we did not do the math on this because somebody is going to have to do Sean a second time. Is there anybody who wants to fall on that sword before we,
I mean,
Host.
All right. Here,
so, here's how I usually get into a Sean. I go, boys. And I go from there.
All right. I'm going to try it. Direction. So this is Sean. Boys, I struggle to speak about a director as I just don't think I'm super qualified to speak on it. With that being said, we are again talking about a movie that was directed by the man who wrote it. Unlike A Man's Best Friend, Brian Duffield knew what his movie was about. This is plain to see. Did he succeed in the execution of his vision? I believe he did. Without a shadow of a doubt. In a cool 90 minutes, we were delivered a tight movie with great lighting and visuals and an entire script that considered a play X score. And it worked. And this is why I hate talking direction. Because I don't know where to take away. 3 out of 4 feels low. 4 out of 4 is too high. Ultimately, I will stick with the 3 out of 4 because of my previous comments about auxiliary characters. While I again understand the reasoning behind it, it just felt somehow less believable than the aliens.
You went from Sean to Shaft.
I heard Stallone the whole time. And it was the
second
time.
Word. It was, boys, well. No. That's the greatest thing whatsoever.
I heard straight Sean Stallone. Sean Vester Stallone.
I was not trying to do anybody. I was just trying to do a deep voice.
That's probably to speak about a director.
That's good.
Damn right.
So, a 3 out of 4. That's eloquently put, Sean. I love it. Sean would like to hear from Brooks.
Direction. All in all, I thought the movie was very... It knew what it was doing throughout the whole thing. To me, it felt like that. It felt like they had a vision and they went with it. I may disagree with the ending, but all signs pointing to it matches up with everything that happened in this movie. Like, everything felt like it lined up. It felt like it was well done all the way through. My gripes with the ending aside, the director went that direction and executed it well. This movie, I feel like, would be one I'm probably going to show my daughter, who turned into a little bit of a horror movie freak as well, much like her father. So I'm like, I could show this to her. It'll be a good movie. So I'm actually going to go with a 4 out of 4 on this one. And let us go with Kyle.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Open the door, get on the floor. I'm going to give this 3 out of 4.
That was short and sweet.
I love it.
And Brian.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with something Sean said. I don't know that this movie actually did have great lighting. but I also understand why it was as dark as it is, because you want to create an environment where you have to turn the lights off to watch this movie. And also budgetarily, it makes sense because they didn't have the massive budget to do these incredible CGI aliens. So they had to make some choices here. So I appreciate why it was done. I have a larger argument to make with modern lighting and sound design, and I don't know if we'll ever get to it, but just know that I have qualms with both. But as far as direction goes, I think Brian Duffield knew exactly what he was doing here, knocked it out of the park, especially because I believe this is his feature debut. So, like, is this his second feature? Well, there you go. It's not
he did what I said. Another movie called Spontaneous about a bunch of people spontaneous exploding and two people who try to have a love story in the middle of it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that the movie with the kid that was in all the Disney stuff?
I would not know. You're not going to catch me, Chris Hansen. I know nothing about this.
You'll never catch me, copper. Yeah.
Also, just to be clear, I don't know anything about this, and that was a joke. Chris Hansen is not after me.
Hey, Ryan, why don't you have a seat?
Why'd you have a seat over here?
Why did you have a seat? Okay, yeah. As a second outing as a director, and written by Brian Duffield also, this is just, it's good stuff. 4. I'm going to go with a 4.
Who have we not heard from?
We will have Ryan send it home.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yep.
I just wanted to also say, I liked her little village town, and I liked that she had a waterfall. Did you guys notice that? And then ships down on the floor.
Yeah.
It was a really nice touch.
It's really cool stuff.
So. Mm-hmm.
A really neat way to add to the character.
To show her isolation and what she does.
Yeah, all she alone stayed home a lot.
Hours.
Yeah.
She can even make her own dresses.
And sell them.
Yeah. That was another clever touch. Like, real quick, like, yep, this is how she's able to live out there. She has her own Etsy store. Yep.
Answer questions before people even ask them.
Uh-huh. Very clever visual storytelling. Directions, I think I'm with Brian and Brooks. 4 for me. I don't need to drag it out. I think he does a fantastic job. He juggles really complex themes with, like, a fun alien romp. If you want the deeper shit, it's there. If you want just, like, dumb, fun scares, it's there. And as I think Brooke said, like, it's PG-13, so you can show this to, like, your kids. Like, there's no excessive gore or anything, like, fucked up, like, in Midsommar. Like, it's good. You can show, this is a good, easy, accessible intro to horror movie that you can show people either. Who don't love horror. This is a good one.
Even though they could have stood for the scene where she gets in her car and it doesn't start, they could have thrown one in there. It would have been believable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, or I fuck. Yeah, fuck. Obligatory one fuck that you get in a PG-13.
Exactly.
It's true. None of that. So you can show it to fucking, I think, babies, even.
Yeah.
You want to show it even to babies?
Would be like.
Babies will like.
Those are scary aliens.
Am I getting into the Sean voice there? Even babies. Even babies will love it. I'm getting close to Sean, right, guys?
Even babies.
Dude, that's a really good Sean.
Thanks. I've been practicing it very often.
Put some cotton swabs in your gums.
Mm-hmm.
We're done with the Sean voices. All right, everybody. That wraps up the ratings. We're going to have a score. I can pull this up. We are going to. Wow. It's actually pretty high.
It is.
Out of 100, we have come together, and with our powers combined, we made an 86 out of 100 for No One Will Save You. And a paw. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry.
And a paw.
And a paw.
86 and a paw. 86
and a paw. That scored higher than I thought, but I am glad everybody had an okay enough time with this. That's awesome. Dude, I love when people get to experience these movies that just kind of get pooped out onto streaming and never ever talked about because nobody advertises them properly or talks about them and the algorithm buries them. Love attention to them. So I'm glad you guys joined me for this. Thank you for giving this movie a shot. With that, who is going up next week? Oh, wait. It's the host with the most who didn't show up this week.
Is currently a ghost.
Fuck, that was it. God, Brian.
All right. We'll cut here and then redo it. Go again, Brian.
No, for Sean. Edit this now.
No, that's fair. No. Brian needs to get the credit for that because that was he sealed that one. That was fucking so good. But no, it is Sean. It is Sean who is up next week, and he gave us two choices. Either good boy,
can
man's
you do
best
it in
friend.
Sean voice?
Good boy.
There it is.
Or the substance.
Well, I have my vote.
Brian may have shared his vote earlier in the podcast. I mean, this is an audio podcast, so I'm not going to ask people to, like, raise their hands or anything. Brian, what would your vote be? Just be open.
My vote talk about it. Is for the substance. because I have not yet seen it, and I'm very curious.
All right. One for the substance. Brooks.
I haven't seen the substance either. That said, I am also interested in the premise of Good Boy. So that one is also one on my to-watch list as well. Hang on.
Is he going to pull out a D20? A D2.
A D2. A coin. It's
a coin. I have a coin in my hand. I am calling heads for the substance, tails for Good Boy.
Because good boys have tails. I get it.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Tails would fit the substance way more.
Also, Demi Moore has a head, so that makes sense.
There you go. Yes. See everything.
I got heads.
Ooh. Substance.
All right, substance. So two for the substance. So far, we're aiming for a tiebreaker that Sean might have to break, unless, Kyle, where do you fall?
I mean, none of us have seen Good Boy.
That's true.
But I have seen the substance. And I know that the substance has a lot of butts. So.
And Kyle is, if come anything.
On. Come on.
An a ass butt. Man.
Oh, yes. Ass man.
Substance. I think substance wins, boys.
So next week, please tune us in for Sean's pick of The Substance.
The Substance. Also, boys, make sure you check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/experiencegrind, where for as little as $1, you can get weekly bonus episodes on Fridays of the most unhinged bullshit that we come up with. Brooks actually did run through ChatGPT, it looks like, Joe Dirt, American Alien. So we might be visiting that on our Patreon episode this week.
Holy shit. So
stay tuned for that. We also have a Discord where you can find a link for it in the show notes for that, or you can go to our linktree.com/experiencegrind, join in the fun. We're doing all sorts of cool stuff on Discord. Got a great little community.
We do, bro. Thanks, Sean, awesome for that send-off. I guess until next week, Ryan, what can the listeners do?
Go save yourself.
Okay.
Somebody save me. Yeah, I got Smallville vibes from that one.
Damn.
I love it. I'm ready.
Let's just roll every this, episode. By the way. With that. I can't remember who's the band. I had that CD and I never listened to another song. It was only that song, and what a waste of money.
Remy Zero? Remy Zero?
It was Remy Zero. So, that is not a great CD. But that's boy, that song fucking slaps. God, that song's so good.